Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. It's Paul Nisan with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for watching. We are going to do another devotional right now. I'm going to read the devotional, and then I'm going to do a little teaching on it. Hallelujah. It's a great day. Remember, this is the day Yahweh has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Praise our wonderful Creator for His holy word. Remember, the words He gives us are written by Him and His inspired prophets and the saints, and every word is profitable for man. So hallelujah. So let's read the devotional now. It's called Self-Sufficiency. It says, I must become particularly weak, not relying on self, to become particularly strong, relying on Him alone. Weak and meek equals strong, as 2 Corinthians 12:10 says. That's why I take pleasure in the weakest and in the insults, hardships, and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Yeshua. For when I am weak, then I am strong. However, the natural inclination of the ego, the self-centered desire, is to say, I need to be strong. This is not the proper pattern, however. Look to the one who was spat on, bruised, afflicted, and murdered. And He endured all of these for the joy set before Him. Hebrews 12:2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Yeshua, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in a place of honor beside Yahweh's throne. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To redeem man, He became nothing. He did not become strong in the flesh, but mighty in the spirit. But what of my natural talents? Aren't I to use my gifts? The better question to ask is about the motivation of your actions. Is the power you have been given to fulfill your own agendas? Here is the crux of the issue. Are your agendas meant to satisfy yourself? Dare we slow down to be certain that our agendas line up with our Creator? They have always been His talents, His gifts. In the past, quick and decisive actions were taken without considering a question such as this. Father, what do you want me to do with the abilities you gave me? He took everything from me in order to sar this question into the center of my intellect. Everything that was not of Him was shaken to the core and removed. It did not need to happen that way. It did not need to happen that way. Get it? Anything not done of Him fails. It will be removed. It will backfire. The removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Hebrews 12:27 says this means that all creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Judgment begins in His house, the center of your conscience. Yes, that means you, before anyone else, is judged. You will be judged. You will be the first in line, 2 Peter 4:17 says, for the time has come for judgment, and it may begin in Yahweh's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible faith awaits those who have never obeyed Yahweh's good news? So much was given, and so much is expected. Take me seriously. Stop. Slow down. Reconcile, be repentant. Then He promised to dine with you in a love feast of a perpetual rejoicing. Revelation 3:19-21 says, I correct and discipline everyone I love, So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open a door, I will come in and I will share my meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on the throne. Turn back now. You will do so either way, forced or willingly. His love promises you will. I know that everything the Almighty does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. The Mighty One does it so the people will fear him. And Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, Yahweh will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is bad. So that is the devotional we see here today. And now we're going to get into our little discussion about this devotional. And I pray that you understand and get the concept of what is being discussed here, because it's a really important concept. So what does Scripture say about these things we have read? Well, 2 Corinthians 6:4 says, rather, as servants of Yahweh, we command ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses. Yes, we will go through hard times. We will suffer. We will be shamed. We will be ashamed. But we do it with the action and the motive and the understanding. It's not us that they are harming. It's all for the glory of Yahweh. It's all for the glory of Yahweh. This is what it means to suffer well. To suffer well, and that's the name of this devotional series, and this is what it means. 2 Corinthians 13:4 says, for to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by Yahweh's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by Yahweh's power we live with him in our dealing with you. You understand we have no ability to endure this by ourselves without him. But with him, we have the ability to endure everything at every moment, every hardship. It's a joy. It's suffering well for him. I always talk about humility, and it says in Philippians 2, verses 8 and 9, he humbled himself in obedience to Yahweh and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, Yahweh elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all names. And we are called to imitate Yeshua, to be his followers, to understand what he did and why he did it. And I always think to one of my favorite scriptures, Job says, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And that's what we must be willing to do. Hebrews 2, verses 9 and 10 says, what we do see is Yeshua, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by Yahweh's grace, Yeshua tasted death for everyone. Yahweh, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Yeshua, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. Hallelujah. We must understand the significance of this and get our mind and idea off of what the enemy wants us to trust and believe in. That's in self, selfishness, pride, and our self. And we must understand our motives and our actions are not for us. They're for him. And this is the difference when he said, your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. It's not about doing the works just only. It's about your attitude towards doing the works. Why are you doing these works? To be glorified by man or to be glorified by our Creator? We have to understand it is much better to be ashamed by man and to be loved by our Creator than to be loved by man and dishonored by our Creator. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of Yahweh will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements of themselves will disappear in a fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. When you're standing in front of that judgment, if you've lived a holy life, you're not going to be scared of what the judge has to say. But you know if you've had some issues, You know if you haven't lived a perfect, honest life. You know if you've been selfish in your life. You're going to be extremely scared when that judgment comes. Very well so. We want to put ourselves in a position where we don't have anything to worry about because we know we secured our place. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, in flaming fire bringing judgment on those who don't know Yahweh, on those who refuse to obey the good news of Yeshua Messiah. Are you listening or are you refusing that good news? Proverbs is another word for wisdom. And in Wisdom 3:12, it says, for Yahweh corrects those he loves, just as the father corrects a child who he delights. We speak about it all the time here in this devotional about suffer well, about the refining fire that we got to go through, that Yeshua takes us through and is there on the other side waiting for us. How many of us are willing to take that path and be refined by him? How many of us are willing with joy to suffer well? 1 Corinthians 11:32 says, yet when we are judged by Yahweh, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His great chastening is what makes us more righteous on his path to understand his holy word and his instructions, to obey them. Hebrews 12:6 says, for Yahweh disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one as he accepts as his children or as his child. Hallelujah. We must get away from this self-ego and we must understand that it's all about him and nothing about us. All about him and nothing about us. And just like Yeshua had to come weak in the flesh and die to the flesh to become strong in the spirit, we must do the same thing. We must be willing to forgo ourselves and deny ourselves to be one with him. We look at Revelations 2, verse 5. It says, look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove the lampstand from its place among the churches. If. One of the most misused but important words in the scriptures. If. If you do this, he will do this. How many of you are willing to do it? The church today isn't living any too much different than people that don't even confess Yeshua in their works. But even worse, they're denying that his commandments need to be followed. They're denying that we must be true followers of Yeshua. The false gospel of today is just confessing something with your lips, but your actions mean nothing. But the Bible says, as a face is reflected in mortar, the heart, the actions reflect the heart. John 14:23 says, Yeshua replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them and will come and make our home with each of them. Will do what I say. That was John 14:23. All who love me will do what I say. Underline that. Highlight that. Will do what I say. And for Yeshua said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And those commandments were unchanged. Those commandments weren't dummied down to 2 commandments. You will do them. Matthew 10:26 says, but don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed. And all that is secret will be made known to all. Our Creator sees everything and we can't hide from him. We cannot run or hide from him. He will find us. Romans 2:16 says, and this is the message I proclaim, that today is coming when God, through Yeshua, Messiah, will judge everyone's secret life. Now's the time to get right, everybody. Now's the time to get right with him. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5 says, so don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before Yahweh returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then Yahweh will give each one whatever praise is due. Hallelujah. 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 And all of this is discussed in the whole chapter of Isaiah 53. It discusses all about these times to come and the judgment to come and reveals who Yeshua is all in that chapter. So I ask you to read that chapter and understand it and get it. Luke 24, verse 26 says, Wasn't it clearly predicted that Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Absolutely it was in Isaiah 53. Absolutely it was. And if we are to be imitators of Yeshua, we too will suffer to be made into glory. But we must suffer well. That's the difference. Trusting in him amongst the hardships, amongst the sufferings. We must trust in him. New bodies, new life in him. Acts 16 verse 7 says, then coming to the borders of Maesa, they headed north for the province of Bethia. But again, the spirit of Yeshua did not allow them to go there. And 2 Peter 1:21 says, or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Ruach Kodesh, so they spoke from Yahweh. So you understand, we could do it on our own and try to figure out on ourselves which way we should go, which path we should take, or we could let Yahweh's spirit move us and listen to his spirit. Which road are you going to take? It says in the scriptures, there's a path before each man that seems right but ends in death. But then the word says, Yahweh says, know the plans I have for you, they are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Do you want to take that narrow path? That path of righteousness with a light for your steps and let Yahweh guide each step? Or do you want to take that wide path that is filled with darkness and people just stumbling? It says in 1 Peter 1:11, searching what manner of time the spirit of Yeshua, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Yeshua and the glory that should follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This world we live in today is just so fast. Our decisions are so fast. We're not slowing down. We're not thinking about scripture. We're not taking enough time to pray. And we're getting ourselves in tremendous trouble. The Bible shows us many different things. To listen to our Creator. To be imitators of Yeshua. To trust in him. To not rely on our own understanding. All of these things. But we must slow down. One of the hardest things for a human being to do is to be still. In everything. In our minds, in our body, to be still. And just speak to our Father. It seems like such a simple thing to just talk to someone. But man will be in a rush to talk to every person in this world. But for some reason, they're have a lack of understanding of what it means to talk to our Creator. A man could stay on the phone 2 hours talking to somebody, but they can't talk to our Creator for 2 minutes in prayer. We need to put down the phone. We need to put down the computer. And we need to get alone in our prayer closet and speak to our Creator and just slow down. And understand he's the ultimate one. He's the captain of this ship. He's the one directing us. We must follow him. It's the only way we're going to figure this out. Zechariah 2:13 says, be still before Yahweh, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. And then one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible, Psalms 46 verses 10 and 11 says, be still and know that I am Yahweh. I will be honored by every nation, and I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress and interlude. He's waiting to take us under his wing. We need to speak to him. Exodus 14:14 says, Yahweh will fight for you while you keep still. Habakkuk 2:20 says, Yahweh is the holy temple of all earth. Be quiet in his presence. We need to learn what prayer is about. We need to learn what it means to speak to him. When we rely on ourselves, we think about ourselves and we don't need to go to him. We don't need to go to anyone else, we think. But how wrong that is. We need to forgo our own thoughts and go to him and not trust in our own understanding. We got to understand the storm that's going on around us and understand even Yeshua, the wonderful Messiah, how he calmed the storm around us and what he said in Mark 4:39 to 41. He got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind slowed down and died, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I submit to you this morning and today that we must be like that wind. We must be like those waves. And he's telling us to be quiet and to be still. How many of us are going to listen? The wind obeys. The mountains move when he speaks, obeys. Everything, the rain stops when he speaks, obeys. How are we going to listen? Are we going to obey? Psalms 107, 28 to 29 says, "They cried out to Yahweh in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and waves of the sea were hushed." You think your life is so busy and too much is going on and you don't have time to slow down, but he tells us to slow down and trust him. He's given us a weekly Sabbath to slow down, to make sure we follow his words, to slow down and listen to him. How could we hear him when we're rushing around so fast and doing so many things? We need to slow down daily and listen to him. Psalms 46 verses 1 and 7 says, "Yahweh is our refuge and strength, a great help in times of distress. Therefore, we will not be frightened when the earth roars, when the mountains shake and the depths of the seas, when its waters roar and rage, when the mountains tremble despite their pride. Look, there is a place, a river whose streams make the city of Yahweh rejoice, even a holy place of the Most High. Since Yahweh is in her midst, she will not be shaken. Yahweh will help her at the break of dawn." And the nations roared, the kingdoms were shaken. His voice boomed, the earth melts. Yahweh of heaven's armies is with us. Our refuge is the God of Jacob. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to stop everything in our life sometime to just slow down and just focus on him. Our focus should always be on him, but we're too busy running around. We don't do that enough. We must get rid of this self, self, self and trust him, him, him. 1 Samuel 12:16 says, "Now then, stand still and see the great thing Yahweh is about to do before your eyes." Exodus 14:13 says, "But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch Yahweh rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again." We need to stop worrying and start believing. Stop being distracted by the world. Stop listening to the news and everything else that's all fake and start listening to the truth of Yahweh. Luke 10:38 to 42 says, "Now as they were traveling along, Yeshua went into a village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into his home. She had a sister named Mary who sat down at Yahweh's feet and kept listening to what he was saying. But Martha was worried about all the things she had to do. So she came to him and asked, 'Yahweh, do you care that my sister has left me to do all the work all by myself, don't you? Then tell her to help me.' And Yahweh answered her, Yeshua answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you worry and fuss about a lot of things, but there's only one thing you need. Mary has chosen what is better, and it is not to be taken away from her.'" We must wait patiently and trust Yahweh. We must learn this. It's one of the hardest lessons for a human to learn, is to just slow down and trust him and follow him and wait patiently. Psalm 37:7 says, "Be still in the presence of Yahweh and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about the evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked scams." Psalm 62:5 and 6 says, "Let all that I am wait quietly before Yahweh, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken." How much do you worry about the world's ways? How often are you talking about a virus more than you're talking about our creator? Are you spending more time watching the news more than you're spending reading the word? We need to understand what the scriptures say. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "But they wait upon Yahweh, and shall they renew their strength. They shall mount up new wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And James 5 verses 7 and 8 says, "Therefore, brothers, be patient until Yahweh is coming. See how the farmer waits for his precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until he receives the early and late rains." You must be patient, strengthen your hearts, because Yahweh is coming. Yahweh's coming is near. So it's time to shut off the TV and listen to Yahweh's word. Joshua 1:8 says, this law scroll must not leave your lips. You must memorize it day and night so you can be carefully obey all that is written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. Psalms 1:2 says, but they delight in the law of Yahweh, meditating on it day and night. As Yahweh said in the word to his prophets, eat this scroll. Eat this scroll. His words must fill us. His words must fill us. And that's what we have to understand and get. Even during the hard times, we must persevere. That's the only way we're going to find peace. We will never find peace if we're busy doing other things and making other things more important than him. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Messiah also rule your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and to be thankful. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of Yahweh that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Yeshua Messiah. And Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep perfectly the peace for one whose mind remains focused on you, because he remains in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Do we get this? Do we understand this message? I'll leave you with two more scriptures. Job 34:29 says, but if he remains silent, who can condemn him? If he hides his face, who can see him? Yet he is over individual and nation alike. And then finally, I leave you today with Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of Yahweh, which is good and acceptable and perfect. We must let go of self and selfishness, and we must rely on him and trust him in all his ways. And trust him and not lean up on our own understanding, but lean on his understanding. He is the one that is going to pull us through those hard times and those troubles. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for listening today. If you want more of these teachings, you can go to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and you can see them there. And you can also support us at our Patreon page, patreon.com/TorahLifeMinistries. We thank you for that. And it's my heart and desire to just get us to slow down, to be still, and understand who he is and what he's done for us, and to let people know that truth, and to share your testimonial and not be ashamed. And just hallelujah and praise our wonderful creator for this day that he has made. Have a blessed day out there, everybody, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world, oh my people.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida 33466. And thank you for your prayers and generous support.
Torah Life Ministry. There's a name that can silence every fear. There's a love that embraces the heartache, the pain, and the tears. Through my faith and my doubting, I know one thing for sure. His word is unfailing, promise secure. Todo va a estar bien, everything will be alright. Whole world's in his hands, your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness, in the trials, he's faithful and he is true. The whole world's in his hands, todo va a estar bien. Oh, oh, oh. Everything will be alright. Oh, oh, oh.
Yeah. Father, you say everything's gonna be alright. But my circumstances say I won't last through the night. I need your word to hold me now, need you to pull me through. I need a miracle, a breakthrough, I need you. They say you hold the whole universe in your hand, but my world's falling apart like it is made of sand. Am I small enough to slip through the cracks? Can you take my broken pieces and put them